Hey, folks, sit back, relax, get your favorite libation, your favorite snack. The Geocaching Podcast is coming at you right about now.
You want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. Geocache, and if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 528, recorded live on March 28th, 2018. I'm your host, Ted Hard Hat with
Scott Burks
and Taz427.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE and find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook.
Nice tagline, Scott.
What are you talking about?
Oh, good stuff. Hey, folks, welcome back. Glad to see you fine folks. We had a couple of weeks of stuff go on. It's amazing how life gets in the way when you don't want it to, but that's how it goes sometimes. But we are back, and it's been interesting. And again, I think Scott saw the I blame Scott Burks for the snow. We've actually had 2 days since then that we've had snow flurries. Thank you.
You have to know the hashtag blame Burks.
Hashtag blame Burks. I'm going to remember that. We might have another chance because today is the first day in weeks that we actually got into the 70s. We've been into like the 50s. Yeah, we've been in the 50s for a couple of weeks now. It's been wet. Whoa. It's been snowy. It's been everything you don't want for a North Carolina spring.
I haven't seen the 70s, I think, since October.
All I want to know is where I can slap up Punxsutawney Phil because, dang it, it's just been a pain in the butt. But,
go ahead.
Yeah, the weather's just sucked. It's just been terrible. And we've got maybe 3 days, I think they said, in the low 70s, and we're supposed to have another nor'easter blow through.
Ooh.
So, again, hashtag blame Burks. So
yeah, I've spent the last 5 days in Minnesota. They still have snow on the ground in Minnesota.
Do they really?
Weird. Yeah. Here in Chicago, there's no more snow. It's warming up. It's slowly thawing. But
did the lakes even freeze up?
Where in Chicago?
Yeah, the Great Lakes and all that.
They froze. Yeah. I just crossed over the Mississippi a few hours ago. Yeah, that thing was frozen solid. Yeah.
Well, for the past several years or weeks, the rain has been blowing through here, but it finally stopped Sunday night, and now we're in the 70s here. So it's supposed to actually break 80 tomorrow.
Ooh. Oh, my God.
That put a lot of snow up in the Sierra, so drove up the road about a little over an hour away and took my son to get his first snowboarding lessons.
Really?
How old your son?
15.
Wow,
15, he's never snowboarded yet?
Never snowboarded. Well, you know, he wasn't all that interested in it, living in Houston. Finally,
he's a Texas boy.
So finally now he's like, Dad, you know, I think I want to learn how to snowboard. So it's like, yeah, okay, spring break, let's go.
Does he have twang?
Twang?
Is he a twangy? Does he talk like a Texan?
You know, I don't notice it. probably not because he, you know, living in Houston area, you know, you don't have a lot of that. You go out, you know, in the rural areas, you get a lot more of that.
Does he drop y'alls all the time?
I don't notice it anymore. Wow. I mean, you know, that's one of the things. If you live in the environment, you just don't
notice.
Heck,
my daughter does y'alls every once in a while, and I'm like, really? You're from Michigan. What the heck? Y'all. Actually,
he's adapting nicely to the California weather and the California
girls
lifestyle.
Yeah, well, he's adapted to California weather and California lifestyle, and he's... Kid's got like 5 different skateboards. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Has he traded his rifle spray? Race surfboard yet?
Not a surfboard, no. No surfboarding, no. But lots of skateboards, and that's why he wanted to try snowboarding, because, you know, he thinks it's, since he thinks he's good at skateboarding, he thinks he would be good at snowboarding.
Hey, and you never know.
So he's not horrible, but it's like, you know, he came up to me and said, "Dad, I told you I would be good."
Oh,
I'm looking, wow. Okay, you got to look at the videos, buddy.
Well, the nice thing and the difference between the snowboarding and the surfboarding is you don't get eaten by sharks. So, yeah.
Or waves.
Yeah.
You don't drown.
Yeah. You might smack a tree.
Does he miss it?
There's definitely a lot of aspects, his friends and stuff, he misses about Texas. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's rough.
Does he miss the football? You guys do football there. It's all football in Texas.
Football. He wasn't football. Like a big Friday night light football type.
What kind of Texan are you, dude? Really? Come on.
A friggin' suburb of Houston, Texan, okay?
Oh, a suburb. See, it doesn't count as much. Okay. It's like,
what you see on television as the Friday night lights, it doesn't exist.
Really? Yeah,
did you have a gun rack on your car? It's okay.
Oh, come on. I'm for the trip.
The last time I was in a car with a gun rack on it was 1978.
And that was just going to school.
That's Indiana right there. Isn't that Indiana territory?
They do that there. Yeah. It really takes a lot out of road rage, let me tell you. It's like, sorry.
So I got 50 caches last weekend, by the way, and I couldn't gloat about it on last week's show because we didn't have one.
Way to go.
But this week, I spent my week in Minnesota. We took the kids for spring break to Minnesota. We went to the water park out there and went to the Mall of America. That is a big-ass mall, man.
Yes, it is.
Mm. It is a big-ass mall.
Yeah.
Mall of America. Huge. I walked like 8 miles that day.
Yeah.
We were there all day, and we didn't even do everything.
Did you ride the roller coaster there? I know I did that.
My kid did.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah. That's fun.
But, I did get, but they had a 3D thing. So me and Jesse, I got one of those 3D action figure guys made of me.
Oh, really?
You know, weren't you? Hell yeah. Yeah, I did. Come on, man. I wouldn't even turn that down. Yeah. So it'll be here in about 3 or 4 weeks. Yeah.
Oh, we got to see that.
I couldn't turn it. I couldn't say no. I'm like, just take my money. How much you need? There you go. There you go.
Okay, out of curiosity, how much?
For me and Jesse, because we both did it together, like, you know, arm in arm, it was total with shipping, $130.
All right. Hey, for a knickknack, that's not bad.
For a 3D, you know, like. It's like a 3-4 inch, you know, like an action figure size.
Right.
You know.
So she's going to sit there and go, that's going in your room.
I was like, take my money. Just take my money. You couldn't have said anything. It was 75, but to add another person, it was 25, and I convinced Jesse to do it with me.
Oh, that's cool.
So, Jesse got her nose pierced while we were there. She finally fulfilled her lifelong dream of getting her nose pierced. So she did that.
So can you give him a little extra money to knock off 20, 30 pounds?
It's called sculpting. I've learned about that.
Sculpting. So last night we had an event in Minnesota. Last night. And it was at a Fuddruckers.
I love right Fuddruckers.
Yep. And the numbers are still coming in, but right now we're at 33. We know we got more than around 50 people there.
Excellent.
But we have 33 have checked in so far. And it was a ton of people. And give a shout outs to Undercasher and Bronco Cole, Found in the Wild, and Master Sergeant USMC. All of them came, said hello, say, hey, well, I'm listening. I listen to the show. Love you on the show. Some were patrons of the show.
Excellent.
So give a shout out to all the listeners that came out to see us.
Oh, that's great.
And had a great time, had a great vacation.
Now, how did you work that out? Did somebody set that up for you, or you actually just picked a spot and said, hey, we're going to do an event here?
No, well, you know, obviously Joshua lives out there.
Oh, that's right.
Just Geocaching Blog.
Yep.
And I know Joshua, so I just called Josh. And he was actually in Arizona this week, which was irritating. Jesse is tapping me on the back. Yes, Jesse.
Hold on. There were 46 names written on the log, but a lot of those are doubles.
Yeah. Did you hear that?
Yes. Yep. It's still cool, though.
46. But doubles, so 50-ish.
Yeah.
So I called Joshua, and I said, where should I go? where should I have an event?
Fuddruckers is great. Fuddruckers, it's got a fun atmosphere. Yeah. It's got great food. I
called them up and they said, oh, yeah, we have them here all the time. She's like, I know exactly what to do. Don't worry about it. Just when you coming? How many? So I told her, she's like, how many people? And this is a Tuesday people. I'm like, 20.
Yeah.
You know, I'm guessing 20. So I call her up yesterday morning, I'm like, okay, there's going to be 50 people. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
And they're like, bring it.
She's like, it's a Tuesday night. Don't worry about it. We're not that crowded on Tuesday night. So,
all right, we'll put you all in the back room. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many Mondays we've done it at Fuddruckers in Sugar Land. So our Will Cash for Food events, and usually, 40, 50 people there at a time, and fill up that back room and even overflow into the other areas. Yep. It's great. I love their fries. Their fries.
Did anybody do the 2-pounder?
I don't think so.
There's a challenge there. If you do the 2-pound burger with the...
I was just talking to so many people. I was like, so many people. I couldn't, just talking to so many people back and forth. So
that's awesome. Like,
Jesse set it up. And, unfortunately, Joshua he's in Arizona this week, so he couldn't be there. But, so it was a lot of fun. So we had a great time. So that was my week. Then, of course, next week starts baseball. So this is when it begins, next weekend. All right. Next week, beginning of next week, it starts. So.
Yep. And if anybody's interested, we did put, I think I got two people that said that they would like to consider it. Daryl was the first one to say that he'd do a show or two.
Oh, a show? What a wimp. A show or two.
So he did say that. So I give kudos for effort for that one. But
he owes me. I was on his show last week. He owes me.
So, yeah. So if you are interested and you want to, if you want to take Scott's seat, you can't fill his shoes, but you can take a seat.
Take my seat.
Let us know by getting in touch with me at headharthead@gmail.com or through our website at geocachingpodcast.com. And let us know, and we'd be glad to do some tryouts and
see. The subject, take Scott's seat.
That would be awesome. All right, let's move on. Speaking of patrons, please consider becoming a patron for our show. We'd greatly appreciate it. It does cost money to do podcasts, and every little bit helps. So if you go over to geocachingpodcast.com and click on either our PayPal or our Patreon logos, if you can give us a couple bucks a month, we would greatly appreciate it. And again, everything helps. All right, Mr. Scott, since you are here tonight, you ready for the mailbag?
I'm ready.
Let's do this.
I got mail. Yay. I got mail. Yay.
Yay. Mind you, another week, another mail.
Yes. You are so good.
All right. Here we go. Hello. Me and Jesse actually had a conversation about this, by the way. You guys don't know the answer to this. In the car, in the 6-hour car ride, we had a conversation.
Something to talk about.
Okay. Is there a way to map archived geocaches? On the geocaching.com site, you can see caches mapped in a variety of settings. Everything, your finds, your DNFs with cache type filters, etc. But how do you see what you have found in total, including archived or disabled caches? And more importantly, all the previous caches in an area, including archived or disabled ones. I quite often read the description of a cache by a veteran who comments about one or more caches that are used that used to be in the same spot the current cache is replacing. Thanks, I love the show and usually binge listen to the audio version. Keep it up, Brian, aka Slingworthy.
Excellent, thanks, Brian.
Does anybody have the answer? Because me and Jesse think
I looked at now the what first came into mind, and probably I'll say Chad might as well. I tried looking at GC or Project GC. I couldn't find anything in there, but I don't know how to get ones from back from Pocket Queries, but you can use GSAC and take out the archived ones that way once you pull them from a Pocket Query. But I couldn't think of anything to pull back from now to say I wanted to see all the archived ones from a year ago.
Chad?
So, the one thing that I was thinking about is the My Finds on there, and I wonder if there's a way to kind of pull that up with theirs and because most normal pocket queries you can map the pocket queries, and that was the route that I was going to take. There are tools that you can take a GPX file like I have from my within GSAC so you generate the GPX file of the archives that you want to take a look at, or all of them that you want to take a look at, and you can upload that into Google Earth. And that's one way to do it.
All right. I'm dying now.
Hold on. I know. Come here. So I think Jesse was a little different than you were, Chad.
And this is Shorty Nitz, by the way.
I know you did. Tell your theory. Tell your theory of
Hey, Shorty, how you doing, darling?
Hi, guys.
The archive caches.
Yeah, what's your best way, do you think, of pulling up archive caches?
The GSAC.
Okay.
Right. And that's what Chad said. But what was the issue that we were having with that? Do you remember what we were talking about with the issue?
An issue with GSAC?
Yeah, like, we had a whole conversation about it, and usually much better remembering that.
I don't remember there being an issue with GSAC. I mean, it has to be in your database, obviously.
Right, and that's the one thing we were thinking of is it's great if you pull it from existing pocket queries that you have, but there's no real way of pulling it from past ones that I know of.
Right. No, I don't either.
Okay.
Mm-mm. No, the only way that I've ever really known to find an archive cache, like we've actually stumbled upon them in the woods and then taken a picture of the log and go back and find, you know, a certain person on the log and go and look at their finds for the day, and then you can bring it up that way. Like you can bring up the cache page of an archived listing, and then you could map it through Google Maps that way.
Right.
But not through geocaching.com that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Right. And one of the things that I've kept within GSAC is my databases, my old databases, and when things got archived in there, I didn't just delete them out of there. So I've got a bunch of them from the areas that I've lived in, but it doesn't help you for someone who's trying to find archived ones in their area.
Yeah.
Right, or from before their time. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, interesting.
I agree.
Excellent. Well, thanks, Shorty. Appreciate it.
Yep, no problem, guys.
Excellent. Isn't she adorable? She is adorable. We love Shorty Ned. She's wonderful. So, yes. Yeah, there you go. Not the best answer you can do, but honestly, I can't think of any other way unless you save up your pocket queries from
Best. And there's a reason for that because, you know, new ones get put in the play. You know, new ones get put in the same place.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of difficult. So, yeah.
Excellent. All right. Good stuff. Sometimes you got the answers, and sometimes there may not be any. So,
hey, man, sometimes there's not an answer.
All right, Taz, you ready for the news?
Sure.
All right, let's do that. The news.
It's not too late to become an official space explorer. Geocachers around the universe have been blasting off to add miles and digital souvenirs to their profiles during this exciting adventure of planetary pursuit. So it's not too late to earn the 10 souvenirs to become an official space explorer. Find different cache types to collect points on the Friends League between March 19th, which was, how long ago was that? That was 9 days ago. Come on, people, get busy, including myself. I've got 0 points.
I got zero. Zippo.
And April 8th. So we got 11 more days, folks.
Yep.
A little over 11 more days to get those points in. So get out there. I think you get 5 points for a traditional. You get 15 points for a multi or an event and several others. The details are online and available out there. Plus, you get a little bit if you dip some trackables in there. I think you got to drop them or pull them out of there. But they do limit you to 15 points per cache this time.
Yeah, I just went on the website, and we'll have a link in the show notes to the actual Friend League site. We have 11 days, 10 hours, and 10 minutes, according to the website. And I looked at my friend list, and Bible Man Rick,
1,190. 1,167?
No, 1,190.
How many do I have?
Yours isn't showing up.
I'm not in the top 10.
You are not, sir.
Is Shorty in the top 10?
No. Let's see. The top, well, it only shows the top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, okay, the top 8. No, she's not as of right now. The lowest it has right now is Jay Ranjuju with 563 is the lowest that I have. And then there's you, meaning me, with Zippo, Goose Egg.
Yeah.
So I got to get out there and do it.
I'll get him this weekend. I'll get him on this weekend.
That's fine. My top 10 are there between 500 and something, and then Bible Man Rick at 1190.
Yeah.
They're at the top. So,
yep.
So, so all of these people have found their anus.
Yes. That's good to find your anus because it's important.
I think he's Bible Man retired, is what I think he is.
That's it. Fireman Skippy is what? Australia, if I remember right. He's got 434. I'm just looking
at Linda number one has 842, and she's going in for a hip replacement this weekend.
Okay, and just to put a little emphasis on this, Team Podcasher has 280.
Really?
So, yeah.
Are we three now instead of two people? Is that what it is?
I don't know. Sean's starting to get to that age now that I'm very curious to see if he has any interest. Because I don't even think he cuts transitions anymore. So I'm
he's gonna find a girl soon.
It's all gone. It's gone.
It's all over.
Yeah. Oh wait, here's Scott Burks, 105. You are 32nd. Daryl has 145, by the way.
Daryl is posting every day. Jesus, his Instagram is blowing up.
So yeah, that's some in my friend list anyway. So that's fun.
This is like the last like 2 days I've had. Jesse's got me stopping for favorites and for where he goes, but like virtuals and stuff like that. You know, on the way to Minnesota.
So I'm gonna have to go.
Wow. Well, Chris of the Northwest is with us at zero.
All right, awesome. See?
Really?
So don't tell Land Monkey because he'll get on our butts again.
Land Monkey's alert is going crazy.
Yes, I'm sure his just – he probably checks us each day just to see if we're doing stuff or not.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how you go.
Sorry, my voice is gone from the weekend.
That was a great duck, by the way. That's awesome. But so, yeah. Good stuff. Let's move on to episode 528. I thought this would be fun to go into. Fun facts, the history of geocaching. You can see every once in a while we do quizzes and stuff, and a lot of the stuff, or at least a good chunk of it, actually comes from stuff like this, where you can go to geocaching wiki and check out the different things where it has the entire history of everything since the beginning. And I was thinking that some people out there that are probably newer or just haven't remembered over time because
it's actually more new.
Yeah, it's probably more new than anything. But I figure we kind of hit some of this. So,
for the record, though, sorry, I'm totally tangenting here, but like I was talking to listeners at the event the other night.
Yeah,
their favorite shows.
Yes,
guess which ones?
I would hope ours.
Well, no, of our show. Which kind of our shows are the other favorite?
The one with Mr. Burks in it.
No, the quiz ones.
Really? They like the quizzes.
I was like, really?
Yeah, it's fun and exciting, and we always like seeing who's going to stomp on who.
I'm like, I can't believe those are the favorite shows.
Well, we'll have to do another one soon because that's
you'll
fun.
You'll figure, guys.
And you never know who's going to win until the end because you can always get zero.
Zero. Yeah, I love that because I know it's all or nothing, but that makes it fun.
Love the quiz shows. Yeah.
All right. Oh, yeah. Well, I'll have to remember that.
There you go.
Good stuff. So thanks for telling us. Sorry. We appreciate it.
I forgot to tell you that. I wanted to tell you that. I forgot.
That's awesome. All right. So let's just kind of touch whatever. I've got a bunch of bullet points here, and if anybody catches stuff that grabs their eye, by all means, check it. But one of the first things that a lot of people may not know is geocaching was, how do you put it, appropriated, borrowed, copied,
stolen.
It was ripped off from a 160-year-old game called Letterboxing. Now, you say
that old?
Yeah, it goes way back. And you go, well, wait a minute. We have a geocached letterbox. Yes, but it's not a true letterbox. It's a geocache letterbox. Because there's an entire society on letterboxing. And I have met them, and they are like us. It's a lot of fun.
But did they rip that off of pirates and their treasure maps?
Not really.
And this many feet from this big tree and this object is in this direction.
Well,
there's a lot of
The game actually originated from mail. From actual mail boxes. And basically what it was is you would drop off a note or a letter to a particular mailbox. Sometimes it was in a known area. Sometimes it was hidden off. And that's where the X number paces in this direction for whatever kind of thinking was. And the idea is you would go find the mail that was written to, and a letter would be written to you and all that kind of fun stuff. And that transformed into the stamping. And there was a whole thing about making your own stamp with that as well. But, yeah, it's a 160-year-old game called Letterboxing that geocaching based its references to landmarks and embedded in stories. So, yeah, isn't that cool? Mm-hmm. I love that.
You know, what's funny is that, like, here in Chicago, you know, there's two kind of letterboxes. Okay, there's a letterbox where you, you know, take 10 steps this way and 8 steps that way. There's also what we call an Iowa letterbox. An Iowa letterbox is just a cache with stamps in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So when you read it's an Iowa letterbox, you know it's you're not you know walking around. You just the cache is where it is. I don't know why it's called an Iowa letterbox, but it is. Probably because it originated in Iowa. I don't know.
Yeah,
but it's literally just a cache with the stamps in it. That's all it is.
Yeah, you can actually go to letterboxing.com and there's a couple other ones that still do and are very popular. I know when I went out to West Virginia in Martinsburg, the same day that I went out for an event for geocaching, they had a bunch of people come in for an event for letterboxing. And it was funny because when I was there, I'm seeing all these people with GPSs and their packs and all the rest of this stuff. And it's like, hey, geocachers. They said, no, letterboxers. Right. So, yeah, it's cool. They're just as obsessed in it as we are. It's great.
So all you newbies out there in your geocaches.
Yes, exactly. Having to have your phone tell you where everything is, where X marks the spot. Yeah.
I always love a good letterbox.
It's fun.
I
like a
good letterbox. Yeah. I love stumbling across them in the woods while trying to find a geocache.
Yes.
That's always fun. It's like, okay, this isn't a geocache. This is a letterbox. Where it's then trying to find the details about where it came from.
Right. Yeah. Now, do you carry? Fun. You still carry your stamp book and all that? Because I have mine in my pack. I got my
mine's in my pack. So the question is whether or not I carry my backpack out of the vehicle. I got about a 50-50 chance of when I actually sign a letterbox, whether I stamp it or not.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of that.
Sometimes people just sign it, but it's like, it's not the same as a stamp. The stamp's cool because you take a little pride in it.
Right. If I got my stamp with me, I'm definitely going to stamp it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have a stamp, so I only
really? I was going to ask you what kind of stamp you have. Chad, what kind of stamp you have? No,
Jessie's been itching me to get a stamp.
Yes.
She wants a... Like, what do you want? Like a Scott Burks and Shorty Knit stamp, right? Is that what you want, Jess? Oh, don't give me that.
Mine's a Tasmanian devil. I mean,
that's cool.
What would you expect?
Yeah, mine's a Royal Fleur.
The Fleur.
Fleur de Blis.
Yes.
Fleur de Fleur.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And I think Amy's is like a ladybug or some one of her favorite things. So, yeah, everybody takes her. And a lot of people, and that's something that you can get into too, and don't laugh. Pinterest actually gives you a lot of good ideas for stuff, is how to carve your own stamp, which is neat.
Yeah.
So you can make your own personal stamps and go that way.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. All right, let's move on to, geocaching was conceived shortly after the removal of selective availability. I wonder if any kids these days even know what that is. From the global positioning system on May 2nd, 2000.
I've edumacated some people on Quora about this.
Yeah.
People ask questions about it and stuff, and I tend to answer a lot of GPS related questions on that site.
Yeah, I mean it's interesting because back then there was what 14, 16, 18. I can't remember how many actual satellites originally went up that were.
There is still a full set at that time. There is a full set of 24.
Right, that's it. That's it.
But the accuracy of the amount of information on the timestamp that it gave effectively resulted in a inaccuracy of around 300 feet.
Yeah, yeah. It has gotten better because how many different systems are out now?
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, instantly it turned to about 30 feet of inaccuracy back then when they just added the extra length in the timestamp that they were putting on there, so it had a more accurate timestamp.
Yeah, and then you got GLONASS, and you've got the India one, and you've got the other ones that are out there, all starting to hook together, which I'm very glad to see that everybody's kind of sharing.
Galileo is supposed to go out of... what's that mode? Right now, it's not. It's in a transitional mode. It's a trial mode. Starts with the E. What's that? What's that term?
Daryl would know.
Anyways, so most GNSS receivers, like say you have a Galaxy S8 or S9, It has a GNSS receiver. It's capable of receiving Galileo, but right now it's not receiving it because they haven't fully enabled it. So it can become inaccurate at any time because of the things that they're playing with
right.
on it. But once it goes full blast, there are tons of phones would then have both GPS, the GLONASS, and Galileo all working at the same time.
Isn't that the one that they said it's going to be like dead on? You're talking inches now that the discrepancy is going to be.
I believe it was 1 meter for civilian use and 0.01 meters for military use.
Yeah, so you're talking 3 feet.
Yeah.
Well, if you drop a bomb, a big bomb...
10, yeah,
you're gonna take out everything.
Yeah, it's gonna go hand grenades and horseshoes. You know,
it's okay.
well, apparently the Brits are upset because the EU right now is telling them we're not gonna let you use Galileo.
Oh,
because of Brexit.
Brexit.
Oh, jeez. Let it go. Anyway,
who the hell votes out? Really. Come on, people.
See, this is where we need Sarah. Yeah, so that's interesting how that goes and how accurate it'll be, and we'll just ha-ha and go from there because that's part of the fun.
It's like, okay, if my bomb can't get you with 3 feet of accuracy.
Yeah, you need a bigger bomb. You know, need a bigger bomb. Yeah, it's just that's how it goes. Wow.
Amazing that 18 years they turned that thing on. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I remember at one time, you know, they were talking about the older satellites, like, I don't know, dying because of they weren't supposed to last as long as they did. And to try to get it, the updated ones up there as quickly as they can. And amazingly, when the Russians started GLONASS, a lot of that suddenly went, oh, you know what? We're going up next week.
I remember that. I remember when they turned that on.
Yeah.
I remember reading all about it and like. What it's going to do and what it's going to mean, and you know, like we're all going to have GPS now, and
everybody went, yeah, what's that?
Yeah, but like going like, oh, I'm like, no one's ever going to use that. Use that?
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's amazing.
I actually had already had a serial bus based GPS with Rand McNally maps that was on two CDs and went across the U.S. and with the 300 feet of inaccuracy.
Yes.
So sometimes you're like, it thought you were on a different road than you were on. that was fun.
The updates for the map and all that, you know?
When the system updated, the accuracy got a lot better.
Yeah. I remember somebody, a friend of mine, when I was working way back when, he had a handspring PDA. For the kids that don't know what a PDA is, it's a personal digital assistant, which is about the size of your phone.
You got to speak in kid term, dude.
I'm sorry.
It's like an iPhone, but not.
Yeah, it's like nothing that an iPhone does except for hold a couple of files.
it's like an iPod that doesn't play games.
But anyways, he actually had a GPS. Yes. He had a GPS hook in that you could plug into it because he did surveys for land and needed to do that to try to get as much accuracy as you could for whatever he was doing. And I thought that was cool back then when I had that. But yeah, PDAs, kids, look it up. Google it.
What I found was pretty amazing is that about 3 years ago, when I was living back where we used to live in Elgin, we had Waze. You know, Waze, which is the greatest freaking app ever.
And absolutely. It doesn't
have Waze, you're crazy. W-A-Z-E. It's a app. And we have a road in Elgin where we live that ended, just dead. Okay, just dead. But then they finally finished it. Well, they finally finished the road, you know, and made it finish. The problem is that Waze didn't show it. They still showed it dead. And so Jesse literally sent them an email saying, hey, this road's done, by the way.
Yeah.
You can go through now. And literally within a week, I think shorter than that, it was fixed.
Yeah. I going down to Florida when Waze first came out, there were main highways and stuff that still wasn't in on that. And I literally wrote to them the same thing. Hey, by the way, I was trying to get to, you know, Tallahassee and it couldn't do it.
Yeah, I've edited roads on for
the open Google maps.
So Google Maps
yeah.
and stuff, and especially the on-ramp and off-ramp that got added by me and stuff. It was like, okay, the day after they opened it, it's like it still wasn't routing people. It's like, you know, I told you, you know, I had sent it in that on this date that it was going to be enabled. Why isn't this enabled? And then the next day they enabled it on the system. But I had it mapped out ahead of time, folks.
Some like, poor guy drinking now. His coffee got this heated email, and it's like, oh, shoot. And off he went.
Yeah. Oh, we forgot about Taz. Quick, poor Taz, do it.
He's from Texas, sort of.
What's amazing, though, is that, like, back in the day, how we just drive with a map, and now it's like, I remember we were driving to Florida a couple of years ago. We were on, I think we were in Tennessee or something like that, where you're on, like, a three-mile bridge. Okay, just a bridge.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you can't, it's really one lane or two lanes, you know, this one, you know, one going back, one going forth.
Yeah.
And if you're locked in, you're locked in for like 3 miles of like, and what turns out is that there was an accident on the bridge.
Oh.
So it was not moving. It was no lanes. And Waze alerted me.
Yes.
Right before I got on the bridge.
Yeah.
It like gave me a new path and I'm like, whoa. And I quickly turned off and we could see the bridge from the path that we were taking and we saw the cars and the accident and the cars not moving.
Oh.
I'm like, that's probably like 3 hours right there. Yeah. That Waze just literally saved us.
Well, Google bought Waze, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
And then that stuff started showing up in Google Maps. Because I've had that many times with the wonderful traffic in the tri-area for Raleigh do that. It's like, hey, would you like to go on a toll bridge or do you want to sit here for an hour and a half? I'll take the toll bridge.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so that's I love it when it does that. Cause
I thought that was pretty amazing that it like, that, I mean, immediately it like, it went, you might want to get off, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, thank God.
Yeah.
Like,
let's see. May 2nd, 2000 is when the selective availability went. On the very next May, for the next day, May 3rd, 2000, Mr. Dave Ulmer of Beaver Creek, Oregon. I love that. went out and posted on a Usenet, and the news group was, okay, kids, a news group was before the internet.
I just want news groups to people.
They were where nerds got together with a modem and hooked up and got messages that way. This is before
it's
the
internet. Like house party. But you're not seeing anybody, and you're only typing.
Right.
It's pre-HTML, but not technically pre-internet. Right.
And for kids that don't know, that's the web code. So this is before web pages, all right? Or very primitive ones.
In the kid terms,
okay.
So this is the user Usenet news group. It was sci.geo.satellite-nav.
Oh God!
And that was the and the coordinates. Just because you're curious,
it just screams nerd. It like in bright neon nerd.
Yes, the coordinates were 45 degrees 17.460 north by 122 degrees 24.800 west.
Somebody went out there. Somebody went out there and got it. That's the best part.
That's it.
Going like, I'll get it.
Yeah.
Three days later,
somebody went, what a cool idea, and found it.
It could have been a bomb.
Yes, this is before those days.
Well, right? The can of beans that was in it.
That could have been a bomb.
Could have created a bomb.
Let's see. It had been found twice and logged once by Mike Teague of Vancouver, Washington.
Wow.
And according to Dave Ulmer's message, this cache was a black plastic bucket that was partially buried, don't even start, and contained software, a.k.a. CDs, videos, books, food, say can of beans, money, and a slingshot. So he cleaned out his garage and put it in a bucket and buried it.
How come the only thing left is a can of beans? That's all we got to go for.
I don't know. That's it.
Where's the slingshot that he talks about?
I don't know. That would have been cool to have the original.
The first thing that was taken
was the slingshot.
Mike T, is that where that is?
Yeah. Mike Teague. It says a geocache and plaque called the Original Stash Tribute Plaque is now at that site.
Yep.
Yeah. Jesse's got it. I've never gotten it. Jesse's been there.
Yeah. So it's amazing how it takes something like that. And, you know, the funny part is if you talk to Dave Ulmer, I think on Podcasher, he's been on for a couple of times, and he's like, meh. He's like, you know, for the amount of intensity and the fun that he has, incorporated by doing this.
Damn.
And nowadays it's like, just make sure you get outside and do something. Is pretty much.
It was just a stupid idea.
Yeah.
It was just
that people idea. Ran with.
Yeah. And that's, I met him once at an event and, thanked him for it. So, and he's like, that's exactly the attitude he said. I was like, man, it's just a stupid event.
Yeah.
And to be honest, he doesn't cash much. No.
It's funny.
Why would he?
Yeah. It's funny. It's just, that's how it goes.
And, yeah. The guy who hit Beverly, which is the oldest in Illinois, he doesn't cash anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
He hasn't cashed in years. He was one of those like 6 month, maybe a year guys.
Yeah.
But it's like the cash, like he still owns it.
Oh yeah.
But he doesn't log in or anything.
Yeah. You
know, he went to an event about 7 years ago. I caught him at an event. They like convinced him to come to the event. Like, dude, you don't know how big this is. Like, you're like the oldest cash in Illinois, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's like, meh.
Yeah. This one for your quiz. The activity was originally referred to as the GPS stash hunt or GPS stashing. This was changed shortly after the original hide when it was suggested in the GPS stash e-group. That means they had another usernet name. The term geocaching was adopted. Over time, a variety of different hide-and-seek type activities have been created or abandoned, so that geocaching now may refer to hiding and seeking containers or locations or information without containers. And it's kind of interesting because if you're like, okay, so where did geocaching.com come, a.k.a. Groundspeak, an independent accounting of the early history of documents serves controversial actions. I love how they put this. Taken by Irish, that would be Mr. Jeremy, and Grounded Inc., predecessor to Groundspeak, to increase, get this, commercialization and monopolistic control over the hobby. They want to own it. Go figure. I'm glad they've loosened up since then.
Own hiding things in the woods?
I'm glad they loosened up over the years. It's really good. More realistically, other similar hobbies such as Munzee have attracted some geocachers by rapidly adopting smartphone technology, which has caused some resistance from geocaching organizers about placing caches along with Munzees. You know what? I met up with them at Going Caching a couple years ago. They had a huge event there, down in Rome, Georgia, and we had a blast. The geocachers were there. The Munzeers were there. Mm-hmm. We were all playing. It was a great time. Had a good time. I did not see any animosity, and quite plainly, plainly out. If you poo-poo it, that's up to you. It's a game. Go do it.
Yep.
It's all part of that. And if you're really going to poo-poo that, what are you going to do about all the AR stuff that's coming out? Give me a break. did you see, and I'll bring this because you know how I get on my soapbox with AR, for June. For Jurassic Park's next movie, they're going to have a game where the AR has full-size dinosaurs walking around that you can catch.
Do they get to eat you?
I don't know. I imagine it's going to be pretty cool looking in your phone, so crapping your pants. I mean, yeah. But it's an AR game like Pokemon or any of the other ones, only it's full-size dinosaurs.
No, I did hear about that. Yes, I did hear about that.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that and Harry Potter.
Very small rumblings about it. Yeah, but I did like...
Yeah, the big push is just before the movie comes out. It'll be...
When's the movie coming out?
June. Sometime in June.
Oh, that's soon. Really? Yeah. I know that's soon.
They had the previews of that at what was... Took my son to see Black Panther and stuff, and I'm like, another Jurassic Park.
Yeah, dinosaurs eating people. Yay! So,
I put that in the same category as the what the hell's the driving series with The Rock?
Oh, Fast and Furious.
Fast and Furious stuff. It's like, really?
Yeah. Now, if we can get his dinosaur to eat The Rock, that would be cool. Right. Then you got a nice crossover.
In Jumanji, he almost got eaten, didn't he? I didn't see the movie.
Amazing. These things are going to be nice, docile, and we'll keep them all in one location.
Right.
Next thing you know, They're running and eating people. Yay. People are trying to escape. The people escape.
Now, can you imagine?
Plot line repeats every single
wash, rinse, rinse, repeat.
Yes. But this time, you're going to picture Jeff Goldblum as the master being eaten by the dinosaur. It's going to be great.
If Jeff Goldblum gets eaten by a dinosaur, that might be worth seeing.
Oh, come on.
I just want to see the comments.
No, I like him. I like him as an actor. No, if that particular character gets eaten and it's the end of it, it might be worth seeing.
Please move me, please.
What was his name in that series? I don't remember it.
Oh, Sam What's-His-Face was in it. And
what was his name in that movie?
Oh, Jeff Goldblum?
Yeah.
I don't know, Dr. Hyde or something. Some crazy doctor dude.
Chaos Theory.
Yeah, right. I can't remember the name.
Yeah.
So what's this, really quickly, total tangent here. Like, I was on Facebook right before I hopped on here. Did Ready Player One come out? Because I saw somebody like was going to see it.
Somebody's panning the hell out of it. And it looks interesting.
Did it come out yet?
I'm not sure.
I see it being advertised, but I don't know.
I don't know. It looks interesting.
When is Ready Player One?
Somebody like they were at a movie theater, like, you know, watching the movie, like, you know, checked into the theater on Facebook. I'm like, I didn't know the movie came out yet.
Yeah, to 29th, which is tomorrow.
It comes out tomorrow.
Probably,
yeah.
That's a Steven Spielberg, which I love because all the Steven Spielberg stuff's in it. The giant robots in it. And all the other ones.
It's out in the UK. Static J is in the room and says.
But Netflix show shouldn't get Oscars.
We know Static J. It is the 29th in the UK.
That's what Spielberg recently said, that he didn't feel that anything made for Netflix, any movies made for Netflix or streaming video only, should be allowed to be given an Oscar.
Well, it was originally made for movies. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, I disagree with that as well, but you know that was his perspective, and that's like saying
HBO shows shouldn't be a television show on HBO like Curb Your Enthusiasm shouldn't be up for an Emmy or something like that. You know, it's not on network TV.
And he's developing a program right now for Netflix, which is okay. He's whatever. Anyways,
we
digress. We need to get back on track.
Yeah. We're never going to finish this. It's like 9.
Oh, no, no. I'm just touching some of the stuff.
We haven't even gotten to the paperless years.
Yeah. Actually, we're getting right into that now. Now, paperless days, kids. Sit back, relax, and have Uncle Andy, Scott, and Chad tell you about paperless. Because, holy smokes, I have my book around here somewhere. My first 200 finds, and I've got it in a notebook that I kept. I put all the travel bugs I found, all the other stuff.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I literally have, let's see. Here it is.
He's got the notebook.
I got it right here.
I think you should take that to Groundspeak, give it to them.
Yeah, this will go in the Head Hard Hat Memorial, but literally it has Head Hard Hat's geocache logbook, which has pages upon pages.
Open it up. Get it closer to the camera so we can see.
All right. So there's stuff that you had. Flash mob that I attended.
It's atrocious. Look at that.
Yes. Oh, I'd tell you right there. But, yeah, that's just pages upon pages. My first 200 geocaches.
Did you ever log that stuff or did you just write it in?
No, I logged it in electronically. But as far as keeping track of it, I've got tons of travel bugs. Here's my July 5th, 2008 TB list of stuff that I found.
Everyone take a screenshot. Go get them.
Get them. They're discoverable. But, yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Let's see.
Somebody found me from a book. What's that all about?
There's for cash 200.
Oh, you're adorable. Look at you.
Is that not cool?
Did you take a picture with that?
Yes, I'm telling you.
That was like 3 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah. Barely. I think I'm at 204 now. But, yeah, so that's what we
did. Your
beard
then was a lot darker.
A lot darker back then. Amanda was about 11 or 10 back then. So, yeah, a lot darker. But, yeah, those were the days, man. The paperless stuff. And that's when PDAs came out. And you could actually, you would go geocaching. You would print out a couple reams of paper for the 12 caches you were going for, and you would take those pieces of paper with MapQuest and go try to find the geocaches.
So I used to find clients. I used to go to clients with MapQuest.
Yes.
Back in that day, we had this company called Palm. It was the king of the PDAs.
Yes, who sprung off the
Mindspring.
Died.
Hard dirt nap. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It spun off Mindspring and then or Handspring and then went into slow death.
Came about and it finally bit the dust.
Oh, yeah.
And another one, BlackBerry.
That was one.
That was one that was kind of in between, but never really made that good transition.
That was
to
a business
a full
phone.
Smartphone. Yeah, I had one for years. Yeah. I loved it.
I still have one in my drawer.
But went the way of the dodo.
Yeah.
People, if you're gonna do this stuff, you need to advance. You can't adapt. Stick. You need to adapt. You can't stick with what you know.
Geocaching.com, are you listening? All right, we're just saying.
You've got Palm. I get his name, Palm.
Yes.
I mean, they were like top of the
yes. Top. But how cool was it, instead of writing down in your logbook what you were going for
pilot?
That day,
you had
Cache Sense or something like that, where it was an app on the Palm where you could put several hundred of them on there in the palm of your hand and go and get all the information you needed. That was magic back then for paperless.
Oh, yeah.
Loved it. I loved my palm. Loved my palm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I had a Palm Pre. A Palm Pre. Is that like the phone one?
Yes, I think it was.
Is that what they were called? God, I'm trying to remember the name of it.
Oh, do you remember tethering? Oh, yeah. See, your computers and your other equipment did not have internet hooking from the magical world of upstairs and outer space. You had to hook up through your phone to your computer or whatever you had. Because we actually carried – there was a time there where you would carry whole laptops because it had all the mapping and all the rest of that there.
Yeah.
With GSAC.
Sure. And PDAs had these things called docking stations.
Yes. And all those would hook into your phone, and then you had to, like, call in to special areas and give your special handshake, and then you would be able to get some kind of connectivity. Yeah.
Literally, it literally was a handshake.
Yeah, it literally.
The icon was literally.
Them were the days.
A long time ago.
How many trees we killed printing stuff
out. Our kids
will
have no concept of that. None. My kids, none.
The only thing it didn't have is the squeaky dial-up voice modem.
Right.
Yeah.
Which killed US Robotics.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's amazing how stuff like that goes on. Then when we did actually have internet, you would have, like, my first GPS unit that I had was a Garmin for cars. You could actually plug into your computer and get your GPX files that way and load it directly into the Garmin and go that way. But you had to go into the Garmin electronically, pull out the right files. So there was a lot of work. It was a whole evening type thing to get ready to go geocaching on a weekend just to get all the stuff together. It's amazing how stuff has changed over the years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, jeez. Much easier now.
Yeah.
I just go. I don't have to plan anything.
No.
I just go, let's go north today.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Live maps is huge with stuff like that.
Yep.
I mean, the only time that I ever really have that I use pocket queries in any regular is for my local area and just for picking out certain information. And the rest of it, it's like you said, we can basically go anywhere now and just pull up a geocache wherever it's at. Yeah, you kids, the lucky stuff you've got now.
I have internet that's I don't pay by the gig. It's all unlimited.
Yeah.
So it's all. You know,
I mean, unless you're going in an area.
If I'm going on a geocaching trip to some place, though, I
still do backups.
You know, I will pull down the entire history of like a 25-mile radius of where I'm staying, and it could be 5,000 caches. It could be 15,000 caches, and I just start doing it from the beginning of geocaching time and just start incrementing the times, and because you were still limited to 1,000 caches per GPX. Come on. Make it 10,000. Make it easy for
it's
people.
Not like data's like it used to be.
Right.
Where you had to pay so much. I mean, I'm sure you do now, but you can't tell me it's anywhere near the cost that they have where you can't do 10,000. Because, come on, with 400 megabits, I mean, it's going to take, what, a half a second for me to download something right. like that?
Yeah.
So it's not a huge strain on the old servers like it used to was.
Yeah, although still, I mean, every Sunday, man, Groundspeak is slow.
Oh,
every
yeah.
Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. People it's are amazing. Out there doing stuff.
Oh, it's like, so she's like, why isn't Groundspeak working? I'm like, today's Sunday.
Yeah.
So I'm like, it's always slow on Sunday.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. Everybody's out there doing things. Well, yeah. they got to, yeah. you know, get a new hamster or something because it's.
So speaking of the first web page.
Yes.
Move down to the first web page.
Yeah, that one was announced by Mike Teague on May 8th, 2000. And on September 2nd, 2000, Mr. Irish emailed the mailing list of GPS Stash that he registered the domain name of geocaching.com and promptly told him to go poo-poo. Let's see. That's not a verb.
Cease and desist.
Yeah, that is not word for word. But he copied the caches from Mike T's database, I hope, with permission.
God bless them. God bless.
Yes, and we'll get into the whole thing about licensing and pulling from the website. Let's see. On September 7th, Mike T announced that Jeremy Irish will be taking over cache listings. And as of...
As he screamed it from the headlock he was in.
As of 2012, Teague has logged only 5 caches.
Yeah, he got pushed out. Can you imagine the bad taste in his mouth of this
one? Oh, God.
Game that we love so much.
Yeah, how many millions of people play?
He's not the president of letterboxing.
No, I do not think so.
And do you guys know how many t-shirts that cost him?
Yes. The originals?
144 t-shirts.
That's
t-shirts.
Right. It's also
they sold 144 t-shirts in order to pay for the registering of the domain and getting the hardware and everything up and running, the website up and running.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And who has an original t-shirt? Do we know anybody?
Oh, somebody's got to have it.
What does it look like? I would bet that Mountain Bike has one.
He probably
does.
But
I don't know. I think next time I see him, I'll have to ask him.
Yeah, and Mountain Bike is very important, too.
Do a quick search, Taz. Can you see if you can pull one up? Like, first geocaching t-shirt.
Yeah, see if you can do it up. While he's doing that, I'll hit on GeoCoins.
The Googles.
Because Mountain Bike, MOUN10 Bike, was the first person to make a version 1 of a GeoCoin.
Right. Yes.
And it's sought after. I've actually held number 2.
Really?
That's the wrong way to put it. But yes, the GeoCoin number 002 I've actually held in my hand.
Yeah, I have as well.
Yeah, it's amazing to sit there and hold something like that. And Mountain Bike is a very cool guy. I've never actually met him, but I've heard a lot about him. And he has times where you can just be talking to him, and if you show a major passion for GeoCoins and geocaching in of itself, that man will give you one of the oldies and go that way. I've talked to several people where they're just talking, didn't expect a thing, and he's like, here, and hand off one of the older GeoCoins. Hmm. I mean, that's just awesome.
This is a small like almost icon size picture, so I'm not sure how well this is gonna come up here, but we'll see here real quick. Let's see if it'll do the application window because it's so small.
All right. Oh,
is
my.
Is that showing up?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it just has a bunch of little, I can't tell what it is.
The colored boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It says white t-shirt geocaching at the bottom, colored boxes.
Wow. It's like, what is that? 1, 2, 3. It's about 5x5. So it's about 25 boxes.
Yeah.
5 across, 5 down. Different colors.
Wow!
And it looks like the upper left might be somewhat close to the original
logo. Huh? Yes, because it's gone through different phases, but the yellow, green, blue, and orange colors were the. There you go. There you go.
That's much better.
Nice.
You know, it's funny. I was going through t-shirts and I was throwing a bunch away about a month ago, and I saw some old geocaching shirts. I'm like, I can't throw this away.
No.
These are like from like 2008.
Yeah.
I've
got a bunch too.
Like, I have the Frogress one.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever see that one?
No, I don't think so.
The Frogress. It's you know, you remember the old the Barack Obama, that original picture of him, like with the pink. They made a Signal the Frog one. That says Frogress.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
I've got that one. Yeah, I've got that, and I've got the actual like satellite plus Woods equals, you know, like the icons.
Right.
Like I think it's Woods or something like
that. My favorite T-shirt still geocache. Deals with my daughter with the I know the best place to hide the body. I love that.
Yep, I've got one of those.
Yep, I mean it's great.
Good job, Chaz.
Yeah, thank good you. Stuff. That was excellent. Excellent.
Quickly too.
Yes.
I'll probably put Chad in charge and stuff like that.
That's it. And again, like Scott said, we got so many bullet points of different things, and we'll do another show sometime down the road.
That's what you
later
got, like,
on.
Yeah, this is like
this is running long. But anyways, good times, fun facts, and it's always fun to reminisce about all the fun things that we've gone through over the years.
Oh yeah.
Oh, good things. All right. Excellent. I want to thank Chad. We want to thank Scott. And we want to thank you fine folks for stopping on by and checking out the Geocaching Podcast. Excellent stuff. I think it's time to wrap this puppy up. Let's do that. Thank you for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and many of your favorite podcatchers. Excuse me. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Chad Courtney, and Sarah T.S. This show is copyright 2018 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.